Congregation, the scripture reading this morning is from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 33. We start reading at verse 18, and we continue reading through chapter 34, verse 3. Second Chronicles 33, and we start to read at verse 18, reading through the next chapter, the third verse. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. And so Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So far the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation, last year we considered some of the kings of Judah. We started off with considering some aspects of the life of King Hezekiah, and after that of his son Manasseh, and how Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings of Judah, but that by God's grace, he was put in prison in Babylon, and he turned to the Lord, and there was mercy even for a king like Manasseh. And so he was reinstated as king, and then he did everything he could to undo the evil that he first had done. Then we also considered how his son, King Amon, gained the throne. Manasseh had reigned 55 years, Amon only 2 years. But Amon disregarded the repentance of his father, and continued on in the wickedness that his father had originally perpetrated. And some of his servants revolted against King Amon and killed him. And then, to our amazement, we see one of the most godly kings of Judah gaining the throne, King Josiah. And we consider that in the first 3 verses of 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1, 2, and 3 are the text for the sermon. And there we read, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. When we consider these three verses, we see here Josiah seeks the Lord. And we see, as you can read in the bulletin, this was necessary, this had a cause, and this bore fruit. So we read here in verse 1 that there's a boy of 8 years old becoming king over a nation. I think there are children here of 8 years old. Imagine that, being a king, being put upon a throne. How can a boy of 8 years old govern the country? He cannot. So there were obviously regents who took control of the actual governing of the country, while they respected their king, knowing that in a few years he would more and more take over control of the nation. And that's how it was with this King Josiah. And he would reign over Jerusalem for 31 years. And try to imagine the circumstances in which this boy was born, and the situation that was present in the country of, in the kingdom of Judah. His father Amon undoubtedly had wicked and ungodly advisors. And the whole atmosphere in Jerusalem was one of wickedness and idol worship and immorality. Because idol worship comes together with immorality, with deceit, with lack of love. And the whole atmosphere was totally polluted. And then we see this boy of 8 years old, and he is crowned to be king, while there's so much wickedness surrounding him. So many evil influences this boy must have had. We do not know what happened during the first 8 years of his reign. But we do know that in the 8th year of his reign, he was then 16 years of age, he began to seek the God of David his father. So maybe it was in the first beginning of his life that he was accustomed to idol worship. And something happened to him that he didn't want to commit himself anymore to idol worship. Or at least we know he loathed idol worship. And where did that come from? It came from God's Spirit working in his heart. It was God's grace that woke him up, and that he realized what was good and what was evil. 16 years of age. The Bible emphasizes that he was yet young. He was young. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, we read in verse 3. That's very remarkable. In the midst of wicked advisors, in the midst of so much immorality and idol worship, which was commonplace there in Jerusalem, everyone did it. It was the way to live, the way to do. Josiah turned around. He sought the Lord in the midst of a wicked and a crooked generation. He sought after the God of David his father, it says. So that means he must have heard about the history of Judah, the history of David and what God had done to David. How God had blessed David. Josiah heard these accounts. He was somehow instructed in the biblical history. And he realized that the God of his father David was the true God. And so at a young age, his mind was already fixed and set upon the Lord. For him, it was ultimately necessary to learn to know God in his own life. The text says he began to seek after the God of David, his father. He began. Because when you begin to seek the Lord God, you are never finished. The rest of your life, you will continue to begin to seek God. And there's never an end to know who God is. You're never finished in studying the Bible. You're never done with seeing new aspects of a text that you have written so many, that you have read so many times. You're never done. He began to seek the God of his father. It was his lifelong endeavor. That's how we can characterize a child of God. A child of God is someone who seeks the Lord and who continues to seek him all the days of his life. It's necessary for them. They need this God. The Lord God is the eternal God, Almighty God. There's no end to seeking out who he is. Psalm 36 tells us, we could sing of it, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep." We sang that in Psalter 94. Because that's how great the Lord is. He is the eternal, omnipotent, gracious, merciful Lord God. He is good. And it's glorious. It's exhilarating. It's quickening. It's enlivening to know who the Lord is. And also to realize that he understands all your needs and all your concerns. He knows exactly what you need to learn, what you need to unlearn. He knows exactly how to equip you for life. He knows exactly how to protect you, how to shield you from temptations which will be too strong for you. He knows how to strengthen you in the midst of temptations. He knows how to equip you, to bless you, to lead you, to guide you. He is truly the good shepherd. And that's why it was so beautiful that Josiah sought the Lord. And what about our young people? Are you 16? What are you doing with your life? Are you seeking the Lord? It doesn't mean you just read a few verses of Scripture and that's it, and you pray some words. No. Seeking the Lord is, who is God? What does the Lord have to say to me? And then you open the Scriptures and you read it carefully. Rereading the passage. You call upon the name of the Lord. You ask for grace to know yourself. To see yourself as the Lord sees you. And then you ask grace of the Lord to know him as he is. And that his Spirit would lead you. That you would have a taste of godliness. That you would experience his love in your heart. Because when the Lord comes over into your heart and you experience His loving kindness and His goodness and His love, then you feel and you see that the world is fake and that everything the world offers is artificial. It's plastic. It's fake. It's nothing. But then you found the pearl of great price. And when you find that pearl, you want to live for Him for the rest of your days. Because then the Lord turns the bent of your life over towards Him. And that happens often in the younger years of one's life. And therefore, young people, do you seek the Lord? And don't think when you seek the Lord that you have a boring life. It's the opposite, I assure you. Because it's a life of fulfillment. A life of love. God's love to you. And your love to Him, although from outside it's all broken and blotted and stained. But He leads you. And you're never alone. He watches over you. He is your God, your shepherd, your Lord. That's what you need to discover. Your mom and dad can't teach you these things. They can talk to you about them. And hopefully they are an example of it to you. But God's Spirit must teach it to you. And He's willing to do that. When you seek the Lord and you call upon His name, don't think you're just doing it in vain. You were baptized there at that baptismal font. There the Holy Spirit promised that He is most willing to work in your heart. It's the richest gift in life. When you discover who the Lord is in your younger age. And you need that. It's not an option. It's necessity. Because we live in days when people are being led astray. Evangelical churches, leaders are led astray by very covered up philosophies. We can't go into that now. Maybe at another circumstance we could go into that. The things that are penetrating our society. Black Lives Matter. What's all behind that? What's behind the drive for same-sex marriage and for LGBTQ, etc.? What's all behind that? It's a different mindset. It's a different philosophy. It's totally anti-Christian. It's following lies, hearing blobs from the news that are not true, that don't face up to the facts of what actually happened. And people start believing a lie. And they are deluded because it sounds so nice. Of course, lives of people matter. And there is no difference in race, black or white or brown. We are all the same before the Lord. But there's something else in our culture bubbling up. And to counter that, you need to have spiritual understanding. You need to have spiritual sensitivity that you feel in your inner life. This is not correct. And although you cannot explain it, you can't put it into words, but you know this is not correct. That's because you have been acquainted with the Lord and you have seen His face shining upon you in love. And you know He is the truth. And then He guides you into His truth. He instructs you. He takes you by the hand. He leads you. And that's what you need in order to survive in our culture, in our society that's becoming more and more demonic. that's becoming more and more opposed to Christ and to His Word. We just sang Psalter 322. How can a young man, how can the young keep their ways? It is by seeking the Lord in your youth. It's necessary. The devil goes around as an angel of light, seeking whom he may devour. And there are young people who have been in this church who are now gone. People from previous generations. And they are no longer under the truth. Church people can have an imagined faith. People think they will enter into heaven, but they do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Their life is not a living sacrifice. And so we need His Spirit, His grace. Because you see, life is not about me and I and myself. It's not about my ease and my happiness and my deliverance. It's not even about my salvation. It is about God. He must be at the center. Not my will, but thy will be done. And then you will be blessed. And then you will be comforted. And you will receive salvation. But the culture of our days thinks about in me and myself. It's idolizing oneself. In academic circles, some of us are in those academic circles, it's promoted that man is good and he means well, so we can build up on the so-called goodness of man, and the problem of sin is not addressed or acknowledged. And how to counter that? By knowing the Lord from His Word. And there's so much temptation. Immorality is abounding. Sin is not called sin anymore. That was the day of Josiah. That's the day we live in. And what can save you? Are we going to despair? Are we going to say the days are evil and what shall we do? Are we going to panic? Nothing of that. Nothing has changed. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the same of previous generations as He is now. And He is still fully able to save you to the uttermost and to fill your life with Himself so that you become a young person of conviction and that you, just like Josiah, will stand up and say, no. I'm not going to do that. And you will not follow the whole world who will worship Antichrist, the beast. As Revelation tells us is going to happen. But you will stand firm on the rock. Because you know my Redeemer liveth. And you know, young people, ultimately the best thing for you is not to pass your exam, is not to get a well-paying summer job, it's not to be the best in sports, it's not to have the most sturdy truck, but the most important thing for you is to seek the Lord. And then you will be surprised how God will bless you. Also with your exams, with your life, with a partner, with whatever it is. Boys will gain a beautiful character. A blessing for a future wife. A blessing for their environment. being true male men. And they will receive God's blessing upon your life. And young women, they will be a priceless jewel, a blessing for their environment, and for a future husband, and for a family. Timothy knew the Lord from his youth on. He was a rich blessing in the early church. Later on, he became a minister. I believe it was in Ephesus. And David, he sought the Lord while he was young. And in the strength of the Lord, he stood up against that bear, against that lion, against Goliath. How could he do it? In the strength of the Lord. And Obadiah, that faithful prime minister of King Ahab, Ahab a wicked man, Obadiah feared the Lord and stayed put where he was. Must have been very tough on Obadiah. But in that position, he could spare 100 prophets, 100 ministers during the fierce, mortal persecutions of Jezebel. He kept them in caves and could sustain them. We think of Jeremiah, who learned to fear the Lord in his youth. He experienced many difficulties, but the Lord sustained him. He is now in glory. We are in an ethical and moral war zone. And there are many casualties. That's how Josiah lived. But he sought the Lord. And he was blessed. It's so good to lay all your impossibilities and all your lack of knowledge and your lack of experience all down before the Lord. Lord, I am but a child. I know so little. Teach me, O Lord, and deliver me. Be my Lord and my Savior. And so you will become a man or a woman of conviction. Immovable. Like a rock in the surf. That's how Josiah was. He was going to seek the God of his father David. He made a good choice. He realized how serious life is. He exercised self-discipline to learn to find out who God is. How do you live? Well, this all had a cause. How come Josiah sought the Lord in the midst of so many bad examples all around him? There must have been good influences. Well, where would those good influences come from? Maybe his mother. The family life in those royal courts was different than we have. Often the mother would train the child. And the king was busy with all kinds of other matters. Maybe his mother. Maybe his mother was one of the godly ones who remained in the kingdom of Judah. His mother is mentioned in 2 Kings 22. Her name was Jedidah. And she came from Bozkath, one of the towns in Judea. But the fact is, we don't know much about this mother. That's all we know. For sure it is true to have a godly mother who prays for her children, who is an example for her children. And the Lord can use godly mothers to plant the seeds of godliness in the lives of children. And we need to do that as early as possible. But we can't say it was because of his mother, because we don't know much about his mother. What we do know from Scripture is that in Jerusalem there were still godly people. And these people are mentioned in Scripture by name. And these people were also in the immediate environment of Josiah. Mention is made of the high priest Hilkiah. In this chapter, verse 9, Josiah would later on assign the task to restore the temple to this high priest Hilkiah. And later on, this Hilkiah will find the book of the law, and he passed that on to Josiah. We also know from Ezra 7 that this high priest Hilkiah was one of the ancestors of Ezra, the priest who would return out of exile and instruct the people, a godly man. So this Hilkiah was probably a godly man, and he had influence upon Josiah. We read also of other people. There was a certain scribe, Shaphan, mentioned in verse 15. He brought the book of the Lord to King Josiah. And he appears to be a person committed to the service of the Lord. And we know from Jeremiah 36 that Shaphan was the father of Gemariah, who tried to protect Jeremiah from the evil plans of the leaders of the people. He kept this prophet in high esteem. And this Gemariah had the courage to stand up for Jeremiah against the people of Judah. Now his father was in Shaphan, in the immediate environment of Josiah. We also read of a man called Ahikam. He's mentioned in verse 20. We find this man back in Jeremiah 26. A person who wanted to protect the prophet in the midst of many enemies. So this man Ahikam, he served the Lord. He knew the Lord. Mention is also made of a certain man called Abdon, also known as Achbor. When we compare verse 20 of our chapter to 2 Kings 22 verse 12, he was the father of Elnathan, who tried to stop King Jehoiakim of burning the book scroll Jeremiah had given to him in Jeremiah 36. Well, this is all a bit tedious. I give you some facts. We can't all follow that now or corroborate that now, but these are the facts you find from Scripture. So there were godly people around Josiah in the midst of that wicked generation. And most probably they had influence upon this Josiah. What a blessing if you have godly people around you. Young people, maybe you know of people of whom you think they truly fear the Lord. It's a blessing. Are we as older people, are we, in the eyes of young people, those who fear God? What do others think of us? What does the younger generation think of us? What view do they have of us? What do they hear us say? What demeanor do we portray? And what a blessing for young people to have examples of godliness around them, of people who have learned to love and to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are examples. And it's good for young people to visit these older ones, maybe grandparents or an uncle or a great uncle, people who have been in consistory, people of whom you know they have feared the Lord, to go there to visit them. When you're seeking the Lord, it's also good to seek counsel of those of whom you know they know more than I do. And you just go there and pay them a visit. And you ask them questions. Questions you have. Ask them how they experience godliness. Just ask them, how were you converted? You can ask that. It's not intimidating for these older ones. They love it. Older people love it when a young person takes the time to come and sit with them and have tea or coffee and ask them about spiritual things. It enriches your life. I did it when I was 19, 18. It was nice. You just sit beside older people. Sometimes you have to get them to start talking. They can be very meek and humble. They don't want to say much. So I ask them questions about how did you learn to know the Lord. Very blunt, very upfront. And they tell you things. It's a blessing. You learn things that you never forget. And maybe that's what Josiah did. I don't know what he all did. But I do know from Scripture he had godly people surrounding him in his vicinity. He gleaned wisdom probably from them. But how can we ultimately explain that Josiah sought the Lord? Maybe his mother. Maybe those other people who were close to him. But above all, what happened was the Lord God entered his life and the Lord drew him to himself. The explanation why Josiah sought the Lord rests ultimately in God himself. Josiah made a good choice, and that was because the Lord had made that choice first. He chose Josiah. He worked in his heart. And that's the secret of every child of God, that God sought him out while he was maybe not even seeking the Lord. How were you converted, child of God? Did you seek the Lord and that's why the Lord came? No, he was the first in your life. He drew you to seek him. He gave you already some understanding, some perception. The Lord is always the first. The Lord Jesus is the first and he is the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And that constitutes the assurance of salvation, that it's unbreakable because he's the first. Maybe you feel the Lord knocking on the door of your heart. He wants to enter in. What are you doing? Break down and say, Lord, enter. I can't even open the door. I need thee to come in. Don't bypass the callings of the Lord in your life. He's inviting you. He's calling you to give up your life and to realize that so far you've been living for yourself, dreaming about a happy life, but you don't know the Lord. And therefore, you need to break down. Maybe there are sinful customs in your life, sinful habits. You need to break down to be clean, to be honest, to be sincere, to seek the Lord. Well, congregation, this all bore fruit in his life. And what a beautiful fruit. You know Psalm 1? The man who meditates upon the day or upon the law of the Lord day and night, his way shall prosper in all his ways. Well, Josiah also prospered. He was a godly man. It's a blessed fruit. He was a godly man. He was a just man, a righteous king. His whole demeanor was that of dedication and devotion to the Lord. Verse 2 tells us he did not turn to the right or to the left. Because you can fall off that narrow path to the right or to the left. You can be very filled with legalism and filled with self-righteousness, that you're elevating yourself above others. But it's all a self-made religion. The Lord is not in it. You can fall to the right. You can fall to the left by becoming easygoing, a bit worldly, not completely worldly, but a bit worldly, enjoying as much as you can. And the norms, and so you see that the important matters of your life, that should be the important matters, they become of less value. You're declining, you're becoming de-cleansed. You're declining, you're watered down. But that's not how Josiah was. He was a godly man. He didn't turn to the right or to the left. He also became a man of courage. Of courage. Because when you fear the Lord, you become a person of courage. Then you're not afraid of people anymore. You fear the Lord. And you're not going to make a fool of yourself by starting to preach at all times. But you know, in a humble way, what you need to do. And you're not afraid of the consequences. You're not afraid to stand alone in your lecture room. You're not afraid what others think of you. It's not the most important thing for you. The most important thing for you is, what does God think of me? And then you are delivered from the fear of man. And that's a great blessing. That's a great deliverance. No longer to be concerned about what people think of you. You become a man of courage. That's how Daniel was. That's how Josiah was. When you fear the Lord, you become a man of courage. And Josiah turned out to be one of the most godly kings of Judah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he feared the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David. He was steadfast. And God's word influenced his actions. He had learned to love the word of God. He had learned to love the Lord God of Israel. And that's why he stood there firmly. He delighted in the law of God. There was no book more valuable to him. And the leavening effect of God's word shone through his life. And that's how it is when you fear the Lord, then his word will enter your life. His word will dominate your life. It will permeate your life. It will fill you. You will become a living testimony of God's word. Well, that happened to Josiah. When he was 8, he gained the throne in wicked circumstances. When he was 16, he started to seek the God of his father David. And when he was 20, that's in the 12th year of his reign, his godliness was translated into public action. He was the cause of the Reformation in his country. At times in history, the Lord has singled out certain people who have been pivotal, who have been at the center of a change, even in a whole society. There was fruit in public life because of the inner cultivation of personal piety. People notice then your godliness. They notice your conviction. They notice your demeanor and they realize that you do not delight in lewd talk, and you don't delight in vanity, but you fear the Lord. And know there's something different. They may not even know you're fearing the Lord, but they realize there's something different about that man, the way he talks, the way he speaks, the way he presents himself. And they listen to such people because they are people of conviction. They have a guide through life. These people who fear the Lord, others recognize that. And when Josiah was 20, he started to cleanse Jerusalem and Judah from the idols. And he was also going to initiate the cleansing of the temple. We hope to listen to that next week. And so the fruit of all this was that he brought forth a reformation among the people. What a blessed life. What a fruitful life. Josiah did not live in vain. He was going to die a premature death. We hope to consider that in a future sermon. But he lived as a godly king in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And how do we live? What will be our aim? What's our desire? Amen. Shall we give thanks to the Lord and pray? O most merciful and blessed Lord God, how glorious Thou art that we have received some insight into the life of this godly king, Josiah. And that the secret of Josiah was Thy calling in his life, Thy drawing him. And so, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy that Thou hast given this godly king, and grant that we may learn from him, that we may seek the Lord, regardless of our age, but especially our younger ones, our young people in their teens, in the early 20s. O Lord, may they truly seek after Thee. Wilt Thou draw them with bonds of loving kindness, that they may be blessed, and that they may be a blessing to others. Lord, remember us all in mercy. Bring us back again this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.